Hello, and welcome to the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Happy April Fool's Day, everybody.
April Fools.
Today we're going to be looking at the worst video game music of all time.
Yeah, or at least the worst that we could find. The funny thing about video game music is that while there is so much awesome stuff, there's almost even more music that is subpar to terrible.
Oh, there's definitely more. I would say the majority of video game music is mediocre, but there's absolutely just an abundance of terrible video game music out there. And I think one of the funny things is over the years that we've, months that we've been doing this podcast, we've had to sift through some absolute garbage.
Right.
So it's kind of rewarding to have an episode consisting of all garbage.
Yeah, the beautiful, tonally just sparkling track that we played in with was from Winter Games. I mean, that is that says it all. I mean,
it's a great way to start this episode off. Yeah, so every single track we're playing today is absolutely terrible. So we thought it was a fitting episode for April Fool's Day. We're going to start things off with a track from the game Terminator for the NES. Just a horrendous game. And this was composed by Paul Wilkinson. Sorry, Paul. We're going to start things off with a track called Rooftops.
Brace yourselves.
Oh my gosh, this is Rooftops from Terminator, composed by Paul Wilkinson. I don't even know where to start with this one. I guess if it was only that really stupid arpeggiated sound, I might give it a pass and just say, oh, it's just trying to be some alarm, some siren, maybe it's not music. But the fact that he adds that drum beat makes it indefensible, because he's trying to make it music. It's just terrible.
Yeah, better luck next time, Paul.
Oh man, that was a good way to start this
off. It's interesting. One of the things that we're going to be talking about today, we're going to try not to just do purely just ripping on things. We're going to especially talk about why something is A, musically bad, but more importantly, why it's just not effective as video game music. And this, especially if we're talking about this track, it's really annoying. It's just, it hurts your ears. It's like if your ears could puke, like it's so painful and just snarly, and it captures like the worst timbres of 8-bit sounds. Like you just get those annoying technological, like I think this would be effective maybe if something where it's like if you die or something,
right,
maybe play this, but like
this is the background.
This actually
music
occurs as background,
yeah,
music when you're on the rooftops, and none of the music in this game is good at all. It's all about like 10-second loops, mm-hmm, and like I think the main theme of the game is dun 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 dun, and it just repeats that for like forever, and it's all really annoying and buzzy and
yeah. And see, that's the thing. This definitely induces ear vomit. I agree. It's the type of song that makes you want to quit playing the game, and that's literally the worst thing you can do. I think your number one goal as a game composer is to not make music that's annoying, that takes the player out of the experience.
Right. I mean, it should create and in some cases support the emotional content of the game. I mean, this is a horrible, horrible game. So I mean, I guess you could say that Paul did a fantastic job actually supporting the emotional tone. I mean, the color scheme in this game is just disgusting, just brown, like monochrome, really bad controls.
And this was a time where every single like licensed game that's based on a movie or some sort of famous franchise is almost just expected to be terrible.
Right.
And that kind of went on for years and years for video games. But anyway, we're going to move on to something quite different. This is actually from Castle Transylvania Symphony of the Night. And that actually might surprise people when they hear that, because that's definitely a soundtrack that's really highly regarded. And we would agree with that. We like that soundtrack.
And it's a fantastic game. It's an absolute classic. It sort of started a genre. That and Super Metroid started that whole... I mean, there's that term Metroidvania that just sort of talks about that retraversal kind of exploration genre.
So yeah, very good soundtrack, but this particular track is just surprisingly bad. I think this is like the ending theme or maybe the credits theme. It's called I Am the Wind, and unfortunately it features a female vocalist. And a lot of times in the 90s for video game music, whenever they would try to have a vocalist sing a track, most of the times it just did not turn out very well.
And again, this is sort of gets back to what I was talking about before. It's not necessarily like bad music in the sense of like the composer just didn't know what they were doing. I think it's more about it's not
bad video game music.
It's not really, it doesn't support the emotional tone. Castlevania music should be kind of campy and scary and spooky, not really sort of 80s kind of Japanese pop.
The thing is it couldn't be further from Castlevania. It's just incredibly inappropriate. So let's take a listen to I Am the Wind from Castlevania Symphony of the Night, composed by Michiro Yamane. Here we go. This is I Am the Wind from Castlevania Symphony of the Night, composed by Michiro Yamane.
Yeah, swing and a miss, definitely.
I don't know, it's just the addition of that saxophone, the soprano sax, if it wasn't cheesy enough.
I think it's well regarded as one of the worst musical instruments of all time.
Well, one of the cheesiest. I mean, when it's used in this capacity.
I just hate it. There's no good capacity
for it.
Well,
I think it's kind of unfair, because I think most of the times that we hear a soprano sax is in really awful, cheesy music. So it's kind of not fair. Like,
I don't know. It doesn't really need to exist. It's not an instrument that needs to exist.
I don't
disagree with
you.
Timbre can be covered by other woodwind instruments.
Yeah. The thing is, whenever I hear soprano sax, even if it's in some sort of like, you know, jazz fusion, maybe it's good music. When I hear it, it just has that connotation. But anyway, yeah, this is just hilariously bad. I don't understand.
It's just so out of place.
Why would this be in a Castlevania game? It just doesn't make any sense. Especially the lyrics, like, those are so cheesy. Like, I'll do anything to save a friend. Like, do they even know what game this is for? Like, what friend are you talking about?
This really sounds like it should be at, like, the end of, like, Full House or something.
Absolutely. All right, let's quickly fade that down, because I can't take that anymore. We're going to move on to a game called Daytona USA, and this was originally released for the arcade. I think it was also ported to the Saturn. This was composed by Takanobu Mitsuyoshi, and we're going to play the title theme. It's called Let's Go Away. Here we go. Now, this is one that's actually a lot of fun to listen to, because it's just so bad and so immature. Just that over-reliance on those vocal samples, which sounds so horrendous, that it's actually kind of fun to listen to because it's so stupid.
I'm very intrigued. at what the hell is going on there, because it sounds like he's saying Daytona, but it sounds like they're choosing all these, like, they have, like, vocal samples of someone saying, like, every single, like vowel sound.
Like, putting them together.
Daytona, let go. Like, it's just, it sounds, like, really weird. Like, he's picking all these different, like, sounds to create words. It's almost like they have those, they have those, like, choral plugins where you can, like, type in the words and they'll, like, sort of, like, sing it. I mean, I don't even know what's going on
here. I don't really know either. I mean, this was in the mid-90s, but, I mean, even on the Sega Genesis, they could have better-sounding sample. At least you could understand what they were saying more.
Well, but this doesn't sound like they recorded someone singing it. It sounded like they recorded someone just, like, singing every possible vowel sound and then just, like, I don't know, mad scientist it all together or something. I mean, it's not a horrible song, but it's just so weird.
Yeah, just the way it's implemented is just pretty immature. We're going to move on to one of the worst tracks we're playing today. This is from Wizard of Oz for the SNES, and this soundtrack was composed by Robert Riddahl, and we're going to play Poppy Fields. This just is gobbledygook. It makes absolutely no sense musically. Here's Poppy Fields.
Poppy Fields from The Wizard of Oz, and you know what this reminds me of? Have you ever you know, brought a little kid up to a piano and taught them about the C major scale and said, just play any of the white notes, because it all works in this scale. So let's say you're just playing this chord. The melody, if you want to call it that, that's what it sounds like. It just sounds like a little kid mashing random buttons, and they know what key you're in, but they're just playing random notes.
Yeah, I mean, there's two possibilities. One possibility is this was just incredibly rushed, and there was no thought put into this track at all. Or the composer just has no sense of music and how to construct a melody. Either way, it's just absolutely atrocious. And it's actually impressive, technically, how bad it is. Like, to have those rhythmic, like, problems. Like, you don't hear that on SNES. Like, that's almost impressive. Like, how are the rhythms so off?
I think what it must be is that some of these samples, they weren't implemented in the right way on the SNES, so that the attack of the pitch might not actually start immediately.
Yeah.
So when they do the artificial pitching up and pitching down, depending on what note you land on, it actually happens at a different time rhythmically because the samples weren't quite tight. And yeah, I think there must have just been like a lot of copying and pasting. I don't think this man has a musical background, and even that little like ostinato just doesn't make any sense. It's not like it's even a chord progression with a random melody. It's just dun, 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 dun. It's just completely random.
It's one of the tracks, there's a few of these tracks we're going to play today, where it's so obvious that this was composed on a machine. It was not, the composer didn't sit down and think about the melody. It was just something that you just threw in a bunch of notes and hoped for the best.
Yeah, I think the other funny thing is this is actually one of the worst games on the SNES. And the funny thing is the original Wizard of Oz, the film, is well acclaimed to be one of the most timeless, nostalgic movies of all time. And a huge part of that has to do with the music, so I think it's really ironic that one of the worst tracks we're playing today, and this is an episode where we specifically chose the worst video game music we could think of, I think it's ironic that it so is not doing justice to The Wizard of Oz. Like,
absolutely.
If anything, that should have like some of the best video game music.
Yeah, and one thing about this episode, one reason we were actually looking forward to it is because it is kind of enjoyable to listen to this music back to back, because some of it, I mean, a lot of it just really makes us laugh because it's just so funny. But originally, when we thought of the idea of doing just a music an episode just on the worst music we can think of. I think initially we were probably just thinking of music that personally for us, we just weren't big fans of. But I think we're playing it a little safe on this episode because I think this is universally accepted. Most of this music is absolutely terrible. I don't think there's anyone who would defend this and be like, oh, I actually love this song.
You know? I mean, this should be pretty enjoyable.
We're going to move on to a game called The Adventures of Rad Gravity. And yeah, that's definitely an atrocious game for the NES. And this is a title screen, and this is actually considered by a lot of people to be one of, or if not the worst title screens of all time. This is composed by David Warhol. And yeah, good luck with this one. This is the title screen from The Adventures of Rad Gravity, composed by David Warhol. Sorry, David, for saying your name twice. The thing about this one is everything about it is just atrocious. And when that triangle sound comes in with that Morse code type of a sound that's in the wrong key and incredibly dissonant, it's not purposefully goofy. Like, there's a lot of music that can be really goofy and dissonant and quirky, and this is not what that... Like, it's failing at that attempt. It just sounds bad and it makes you want to turn off the game right away.
Yeah, I can't comprehend what's happening here because I'm trying to give the composer the benefit of the doubt that this is all like intentionally like polytonal and stuff. But at the end of the day, I think it's sort of like what Peter McConnell was touching on in that interview that we had with him, where he sort of said a lot of people that really got into this type of computerized sound hardware were really fascinated with the type of sounds and arpeggio settings that they could do, that the actual music they were making just sounded like a bunch of noise.
Right.
And that's what this definitely sounds like. A lot of it sounds like it would be good sound effects. Like what's happening right now, like that would be a good like sound effect for like a bug or maybe some creepy
screen.
Like boss battle or something maybe. But
yeah, I mean, if you have to have one good piece of music, make it the title screen, you know.
Yeah, like it definitely doesn't give you a very good first impression, and it's just so dissonant and very strange.
When that triangle came in with the do 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 do, I was howling when I first heard that. I mean, that was just hilarious. All right, now compared to that, this next piece is going to sound like Mozart to you guys because it's definitely a lot more, I guess, like thought out than that was. This is from Mario Kart Wii, and we've definitely talked a lot on this podcast about this soundtrack and in general, the modern Mario Kart soundtracks. This was composed by Asuka Oda and Ryo Nagamatsu. Let's take a listen to Koopa Cape. Wow, this is Koopa Cape from Mario Kart Wii, composed by Asuka Oda and Ryo Nagamatsu. Does every track in this game have to have that stupid whistle throughout the whole song? It's terrible.
I really think they're just not taking it seriously. It's really sad, because Mario Kart used to be a series with traditionally classic music, and I feel like they're trying to take some of those instrument ideas, but just implementing them in just the worst ways possible. The melodies are so chaotic and random, and I think the most tragic thing for me is that both of these composers, Asuka Oda and Ryo Nagamatsu, have very good repertoire under their belts of games they've composed. I mean, we've
really
talked about how much
games.
We love the Mario Galaxy. Ryu Nagamatsu did Galaxy 2.
And like Asuka Oda,
a lot of good
you know.
Things.
I mean, he worked on Twilight Princess. Like, that's a massive title.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And a long time ago, like when I first played Twilight Princess, I just assumed, oh, Asuka Oda, he's the Mario Kart guy. He probably just did some of the worst themes in the game. But then when I found out, oh no, he actually wrote some of the really good themes, and the same with Ryu Nagamatsu for the Galaxy games. So it's like, it's really confusing to me how someone with that level of craft and understanding of music could potentially make something this random and just unintentionally dissonant.
The fact that we have the evidence that we know these two composers are very talented composers that have done some great work, it's very evident that this was rushed and not taken seriously, and there was really no thought put behind this. I think this was another track that was probably just composed on a computer, where he just quickly threw in and just added as much whistle as he could to try to mask the song to make it somewhat fun. It's the thing is it's not fun. Like, it's not bad enough to make me want to stop playing the game, but the first time I heard this music when I played this track, Koopa Cape, I was just like blown away with how bad it was. I was probably, out of this whole game, this was probably the one that just jumped out at me right away. Like, oh my gosh, this
I've
is
probably
terrible.
Heard this song the most, though, because this is my favorite level in the game.
Right.
Like, it's a really cool level, and you go underwater and through all these
and
cool
things. And then what about the second repetition of the A melody when those weird, like, guitar chords? And they're
like, I kept trying to talk to Carl while we were listening to it, and I just stopped, just like, what's going on? It's so dissonant. Like, I feel like it's trying to make, like, a commentary on, like, how karting is, like, bad
well,
for
like,
the environment
It's like
or something.
They couldn't make up their mind. Like, are you trying to have a happy, goofy song? Well, if so, why did you have those chords that are, like, in the wrong key?
And some of the notes, like, I just don't understand. Like, why are they trying to achieve that level
of
dissonance?
I mean, I think the song has a little bit of potential going into it, but the end of the cadence of that main melody, it just completely kills what little momentum the song had. And it's just, like, the worst way to end that phrase. And then when there's that section where they have the banjo and the steel drums at the same time, it's just muddy. There's just too much happening, and it doesn't really make sense, so we're going to move on to a game called Balls.
This is Balls 3D.
Balls. I think the official title is just Balls. Some people call it Balls 3D. This was for the Genesis. Unknown composer. Whew, luckily, no one stepped forward and took credit for this, which is good because it's absolutely terrible. This is the title screen from Balls. Oi. 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 Hey, hey. Oi. This amazing piece of music is from Balls. This is a title screen, unknown composer. This reminds me of something that I would do when I was in seventh grade and I first discovered like the DJ setting on one of those crappy Yamaha keyboards, and I would just be in music class just messing around hitting all the buttons.
Oi, oi.
That's what this reminds me of. But if I was paid to compose music for a video game that millions of people are going to see, this is just irresponsible. It's just incredibly immature. I don't know if this was worked on by a 14-year-old, but it's just, I mean, it is funny. So, I mean, maybe that was the whole purpose of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not Balls to the Wall, which is what I was expecting. Very, very interesting. See, I'm just finding myself just intrigued.
It's very intriguing.
Like, I really want to know behind the scenes what was going on.
What was the intention behind this?
I'm curious to see if, I think some of these composers were just trying to see what they could get away with.
Yeah,
because they knew that the game creators just probably had this assumption that the music isn't going to be that good. It's just a video game, you know, we're using these synthesized sounds. It's probably not going to be that good. So they were probably just like seeing how much they could get away with.
I think the reason why this topic is important in the context of the history of game music is that this was very common throughout like the early era of game music, like the Atari age. Like, so many of those games had just terrible music like this. And I think if this continued, if this was the norm, I don't think video game music would ever have like the respect that it has nowadays. I mean, we really have to thank and praise the Uematsus, the Kondos, the people that really, the Kishiros, the people that really elevated what game music could be. Because if it wasn't for them, this would just be, this is what we would be hearing. And I think, I don't know, it's just kind of an important topic. And I think one thing that's interesting is that a piece like this that has those over-reliance on all those samples is definitely kind of like a time capsule where you can tell that this was something that was composed in the early mid-90s because those samples were kind of impressive for the time. So they were just having fun just using them as much as possible. So we're going to move on to kind of a run-of-the-mill modern Sonic game. This is called Sonic Heroes. I think this came out for like the GameCube, Xbox, PS2. This is composed by Jun Senoue, and this track features Ted Poley and Tony Harnell. This is a rock song called We Can. And in typical modern Sonic fashion...
It sucks.
Yeah, simply enough, it's just absolutely inappropriate and very, very cheesy. Let's take a listen to We Can. This is We Can from Sonic Heroes, composed by Jun Senoue. This really made us laugh, like, a lot. Hopefully this made you guys laugh as well. It's so hilarious. When that first harmony comes in, it's just hilarious. Sharing our dreams! I mean, it's like, if I were to try to come up with something that would just be the stupidest, cheesiest thing I could ever think of, this is... like better than what I could come up with, so you know.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of parodies of this type of music, and that's not even like that doesn't even capture the level of goofiness that this has. I think it's funny because Carl is actually like fairly popular in the sort of Sonic music community, and I think the weirdest thing ever is that out of all video game franchises and video game music franchises, Sonic fans are like the most dedicated and hardcore. Like, they're like Trekkies. Like, you gotta watch what you say. So I'm a little bit afraid going on the record saying that I just detest the majority of modern Sonic music. But I mean, I think it's really true. And I think the weird thing to me is that there's a lot of people who actually like this stuff. And I, for the life of me, I don't know why. I think they're in denial or something.
The thing is, that's fine if you like this. Like, that's totally fine. Like whatever you like. But I don't know. For me, it's like, it's just terrible video game music. Like, if you like music like this and just listen to this kind of music, then that's fine. But this is not good video game music. And when you think about the tradition of what Sonic and what Sonic music was, this is just very insulting to me as a Sonic fan. One thing that I think really makes this bad is that there's, like, a legitimate performance. This singer is actually taking this seriously. He's actually singing a good, like, he's doing a good job with the vocals. And I think that makes it worse. Because if he was just, like, not caring and just, like, not putting any effort into it, then it would maybe seem like, oh, this is just a big joke. But the fact that there's those harmonies and the production's actually pretty nice, it's just, it kind of makes it more obvious that this is just a piece of crap.
Yeah, I think it's really sad. It's like the whole, it's like Sonic is trying to pretend like he's still in the public consciousness, like he's still in the mainstream, like people actually care, but no one cares about Sonic anymore. Like his time has come and gone, and it's just so evident. You listen to that, like it's just Sega's trying just so desperately hard to make him seem cool, and it's just the efforts are so futile because to me Sonic is just so isolated in the 90s. Like everything about him, even like you watch those old cartoons. It was just like trying to be cool back then. And they're really like, they've amped up that like 90s cool factor in the games now. And it's just like, right. It's just pathetic. Like,
well,
it's
I
like,
think what's ironic is something like this, which inherently is more modern, like it features an actual rock group and vocals, it sounds more cheesy, it sounds more dated than the original Genesis music did.
Oh yeah.
And that's the thing that I see in all kinds of modern Sonic games, where they try to have music that's like urban and hip and cool, and it ends up just sounding much more outdated. So anyway, we're going to move on to an absolute classic, especially on this podcast. This is Cruisin' USA for the N64, composed by Vince Pontarelli. We're going to take a listen to the title theme. Here we go. This is Cruisin' USA from the game Cruisin' USA for the N64, composed by Vince Pontarelli. Did you notice, Will, this time I noticed it for the first time, when he's singing, he actually doubled it in octaves for
yeah,
some reason.
I noticed that.
He thought it was important enough that I kind of want to get the low sound and
it's
the high
so
sound.
It's so weird because it's such a random thing. Yeah, whoa. Like, it's just like he's having like an ulcer or something. But the fact that it's doubled in octaves.
Oh, man.
It's so silly.
I wish I could have recorded the first time we heard this, like our reaction to it. Like, I don't recall ever laughing that hard. If you guys remember,
when he started going up, I just lost it.
If you guys remember in our spotlight on sound effects way back in the first season, this is the track that we played in with. But yeah, no, this is really, really bad. The whole soundtrack to the N64 version of Cruisin' USA is pretty bad. And there's this one track that I wanted to play called House Special. You guys should check it out if you're interested. It starts off with a little bit of promise. It kind of feels like a rave 90s piano-based kind of dance tune. But then eventually these really dumb samples come in about like 30 seconds, and it just completely, it just kind of reinforces the fact that this is just a really terrible soundtrack. We're going to move on to a more modern title. It's nice to be able to have a modern piece in this terrible video game music episode, because there's a lot of really bad modern video game music. This is from a game called The Bouncer, and this came out for the PS2, and this soundtrack was composed by N. Matsueda and T. Iguchi. So luckily enough, they didn't give away their first names, which was a smart choice, guys. Let's take a listen to a piece called Ko Lifo. Oh man, that was really, really bad. This is Ko Lifo from The Bouncer. And one thing that is just, I don't know, just interesting is that I feel like this was their impression of like techno music, like the Chemical Brothers, because it's like they thought of what they wanted to include it. Okay, I want to have this type of a techno beat. I want to have a cool little electric piano riff. I want to have a lot of samples. I want to have a lot of vocal samples. But Chemical Brothers are able to fuse all those elements together in a musical way that makes sense, whereas this is just complete gobbledygook, where none of it really works. And when those vocal sounds are entering in this piece, it's just terrible. It's just not fun to listen to at all.
I don't know what to say. I mean, my default is happy and complimentary, so I just don't even know what to say about this. Like, it's not so bad that it's funny, but it's not even close to being decent.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Which, if that was the case, then we probably wouldn't be talking at all today.
Oh my god, that's absolute shit. That's just horrible.
We're going to move on to a game for the Genesis called Championship Pool. This was composed by Jerry Gerber and David Oriva. Sorry, guys. Now, this, like a lot of tracks...
You keep apologizing. They should be apologizing to us.
You know, that's a good point. I guess I feel bad for giving the credit to these terrible pieces of music. But anyway, this track, like a lot of tracks we're playing today, starts off with a little bit of promise. We're like, hey, now wait, this isn't too bad. And then just wait for it. It's going to get bad.
No, I appreciate that you're apologizing to them. I think that's friendly.
Thank you. Here's the title theme to Championship Pool. This is the title theme to Championship Pool for the Genesis. When those lead instruments come in, they're just the epitome of shrill, piercing, terrible sounding.
Very much audible diarrhea. It's really bad.
It's really taking the worst things about the Genesis, the weaknesses of the Genesis, and just making them paramount and magnifying them to the point where it just makes you want to turn off the game right away.
I think we're all on the same page. What do you guys think? Don't you agree this is pretty awful?
I think what's so funny is when he takes that keyboard solo, it's such a lame solo. And again, it's impressive.
Uses like three notes.
It's impressive how rhythmically off this is. Like, how is that possible?
Oh, I think we have some more even though that are even just like just baffling at how rhythmically just...
It's almost impressive.
Especially some of the SNES ones. I really am just intrigued by how it has that level of just like arrhythmicism.
That harmony there... It starts on one note, and then the lower note raises to this, and neither of the notes make sense. It's like, keep on raising it, but it's not going to change it. It's not going to turn it into something that's good.
Well, that was pretty interesting, but now it's time to move on to our shitty track of the week.
This is from a game called Phantasy Star Universe, and this track is called Save This World. And this is another piece where there's a little bit of potential musically. Like, if this wasn't sung, it's possible that this could have some potential. But just the way that it's implemented in this song, the singer just completely shits all over any possible potential this piece has. This is composed by Hideaki Kobayashi. Let's take a listen to Save This World. Who said we are lost again in this lonely? Fake. We See what I mean? Like, if it wasn't for her, I mean, if you heard that melody on like a synth lead or like a piano, it might make a little more sense. I think it's kind of a hard melody. It's a bad melody, but there's a lot of like really big leaps and jumps, and her pitch is definitely not very good. And you can't really understand what she's saying, and the lyrics are just atrocious. They're just so cheesy.
Yeah, you can't really understand what she's saying, but yet you know that the lyrics are atrocious.
Save the world through our dreams. Like, why is it always about your dreams? Like, I don't get why that's always popping up in all these
games. I
feel
like they're just making fun of Americans.
We all have dreams, and that can make us save this world. But again, it's one of those things where like the production is really good on this track, and there's like
strings, and it sounds good.
So much money was put into this, unfortunately.
Can I have some of that money?
All right, we're gonna move on to Mario Kart 7. This came out for the 3DS, and in some ways,
you thought that Mario Kart Wii was even modestly bad. This is atrocious. This is honestly one of the worst reactions I've ever had to any video game soundtrack while I was playing it, because the game is so fun, and I just remember just being floored at, like, it goes beyond random, and it goes into the place of, I really feel like it's like trying to be experimentally just awful.
Well, the thing about this particular track, we're going to play a track called Daisy Hills, and by the way, the soundtrack was composed by, unfortunately, Kenta Nagata, as well as Satomi Teroi. And anyway, in this particular track, the chords, like what the guitar is playing, it doesn't change chords when it's supposed to. It's like he forgot to change the chord progression, because the melody implies that it has to change chord, and it doesn't. And it's just incredibly dissonant. It feels like it's like the chords and the melody were mismatched, like something got slid accidentally before he rendered this finally. So anyway, this is Daisy Hills from Mario Kart 7. This is Daisy Hills, and there's no way this was Kenta Nagata. I think his name was associated because they reused a lot of his themes.
I pray it's not Kenta Nagata.
There's no way it is. And the thing is, about that last section, that's like someone's impression of what jazz music is. Oh, I want to modulate and go to a bunch of different keys, but it doesn't make any sense. You can't just modulate for the sake of modulating. It's just atrocious. It's very insulting as a musician, as a game player, as a fan of the series. It's just absolutely insulting. This section here especially, like when this ends, like when it goes back to the loop, the transition, like take a listen to these chords here.
I think another thing is, like, I think they're trying to give the illusion that the song knows what it's doing, because it's so fast. Like, it's just, like, fast, like, it's confident, and it has all these chord changes, like, they're all, like, supposed to be thought out. It reminds me of those, like, Fred Armisen videos where he's, like, playing drums, and he's, like,
Polynesian Nightmare.
All these, like, ridiculous things that he's doing, and all these patterns. It's, like, it all just feels random, like, it's someone's, like, joke or someone's impression of, like, what music is.
Again, it's like technically they have all the right choices. Like, okay, I want to have this instrument, I want to have a guitar, I want to have a flute doubled with a xylophone. Okay, they're all making the right choices with the instruments and everything. The type of piece, the vibe, the tempo, that's all fine. It fits Mario Kart. But the music itself is just really failing at what they're trying to do. It's just an absolute failure. So we're going to move on to an NES game, Ghostbusters 2. And this was a very, very poor game. This was composed by Frank Kovitz and Mark Van Heck. And one thing that is impressive about this particular track, this is a track called Statue Liberty Stage, is that for this song, it's not an original piece of music. They used a famous R&B soul song called Higher and Higher, originally sung by Jackie Wilson, which is a great song.
Right.
And so you're thinking, okay, if they're going to use that, how can they mess this up? And what's impressive about this is how they're able to completely and utterly shit all over this great song. So this is Statue Liberty Stage from Ghostbusters 2. We apologize for that. This is Statue Liberty Stage from Ghostbusters 2 for the NES, composed by Frank Kovitz and Mark Van Heck. And yeah, I mean, this is actually really funny. We laughed a lot when we first heard this. Again, weird rhythmic problems. It's just a really awful orchestration of this song. And there's when those chords come in, like that second chord, there's just really weird dissonance between the triangle and square. Yeah, everything about this is implemented poorly. The bass line, the rhythms of the bass line are really off, and the drum beat is incredibly inappropriate for this song. And what's this line here? Like, this doesn't have a place in this song at all.
Make it stop. Make it end.
All right, we're going to move on to a game for the PlayStation called Crash Team Racing. And this was actually a soundtrack that we discovered when we were looking for soundtracks for our racing games episode last week.
This is a sad story.
Yeah, this was a sad story. So this was unintentional. This was we were looking for racing game music, and we discovered the soundtrack, and we were just blown away with how bad
it was.
We were
just committed. We're like, we're going to just play one track. We were tired. We just wanted to finalize our racing games list.
And we
wanted
to. There's
got to be at least one. There's got to be at least one good track.
We couldn't find it. So let's take a listen to Crash Team Racing Hot Air Skyway, composed by Mark Mothersbaugh and Josh Mansell. This is Hot Air Skyway from Crash Team Racing, and it kind of would fit into Mario Kart 7. It's just really bad modern racing game music that's tried to be goofy.
I mean, it's way better than that, in my opinion. Like, it's way less dissonant.
Better.
I mean, it's random, but it's not, like, painful.
That's true.
It's just, it's stupid. It's dumb. It's mm-hmm. like, there's no substance to it. It's really,
absolutely.
It's offensive. All of the stuff, I feel, is really offensive to video game music. Like, I don't know, video games as a medium, that should not drag down the quality of music, and historically it hasn't. Like, just because it's a video game doesn't mean you can phone in the music.
Right.
In fact, I think there's so many video games with just unbelievable soundtracks with themes that have just moved people.
Well,
and
I think
have
it's a complete
stood the test of time, and it's such a disgrace.
I think it's just such a cop out, because if you want to have goofy music that's evoking this type of a feel, that's fine. You can do that and still make good melodies. Think about Grant Kirkhope's music. It's the same feel that his music has, except he had great melodies that were very goofy, very playful, that were geared towards kids a lot of times. Those games were kind of child games, but they're really good musically. They make a lot of sense, and they were composed thoughtfully. And this, it's not the case. It's just, it's really unfortunate, and it's really kind of a cop-out. I think one thing that's kind of sad is today is another episode where we have lots of white guys, a lot of European, a lot of Western American composers on this episode, and it's just, it's kind of sad. We're going to move on to Wayne's World.
This one's great. This one's really funny.
This is hilarious. This will make you guys laugh.
Yeah, this is Wayne's World. Now, there was a Wayne's World game for the NES, I believe, but this is for the Super Nintendo. And like we mentioned with the Ghostbusters 2 song, this is just a complete butchering of a very famous song. This is the Queen song, Bohemian Rhapsody. And if you remember the movie, The Wayne's World...
There's that famous scene when they're playing the song in the car.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that's what you're going to hear right now. You're going to hear Bohemian Rhapsody, SNES version. And Paul Wilkinson comes back from Terminator fame to f*** up another awesome song. Here's Wayne's World, Bohemian Rhapsody. Oh my goodness. When it got to that, because we all know what that sounds like. We've all heard this song so many times. So we're all expecting in our ears of what that should sound like. And he completely gets the chords wrong, the melody wrong. All the notes are wrong. Everything about it is wrong. It's just, it's absolutely hilarious.
Oh.
This is considered one of the worst SNES games of all time.
Oh yeah,
well,
this one's really bad. And speaking of horrible sampling, the sound effects are equally annoying. They take clips from the movie. Every time you get hit, Wayne says, "Not."
Oh my gosh.
And like, he'll say like little quotes from the movie. When you die, he says, "Not worthy."
I even
but
saw
it's
there,
like really obnoxious.
Yeah, I saw there's this one part where they're doing like an extreme close up and he's like, "Whoa."
They just like digitally stretch the image.
That's so funny.
Kind of like in Bomberman when they toss you up, they just like pixelate right. the image to make it larger.
Yeah. So we're going to play another modern Sonic track. This is from Sonic Adventure 2. And this soundtrack is pretty bad. There's some decent stuff, but there's a lot of wildly inappropriate tracks.
There is City Escape, which falls into the category of really cheesy, but I actually kind of like that
song.
Yeah,
that's not too bad. But this, there's a couple tracks that feature this rapper, Hunted P. And this is a case where Sega is trying to be incredibly modern and cool, and they just end up going the other way completely, because you don't want to have a rap about Knuckles, that this is Knuckles and I'm going to beat this level. That's the absolute worst idea. That's an idea that was probably thought of by like a 40-year-old executive.
Honestly, it's like those like Christian rap groups where it's just like, "Hey kids, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus."
Yeah, it's like, what's cool? What are the kids into? Oh, rap music. Let's make Knuckles rap for the music of this level. So this is Wild Canyon, composed by... sadly, John Senaway. Just seriously, just another anomaly, because he is really right. talented in the 16-bit era and then goes on to just... Anyway, John Senaway, this is featuring Hunted P. Let's take a listen to Wild Canyon. This is Knuckles, and I'm back. I've been away for a while, but I'm back to kick some butt in Wild Canyon. I shall find all the lost pieces of the Master Emerald here. This is Wild Canyon from Sonic Adventure 2, featuring Hunted P. And everything about this is really stupid. The rap is awful. And his kind of little banter in the beginning that most rap songs have, like, hey, yeah, you ready for this? It's so bad. It's just like everything about it is awful. And the fact that he's talking about Knuckles and you go trying to get my emeralds, it's just the worst thing. And it's something that a lot of Sonic nerds would probably just love just because he's rapping about emeralds, but it's just insulting.
Yeah, I mean, imagine going back to older Sonic games and replacing, you know, let's just say, instead of Angel Island Zone, that really great melody, what if there's a, Angel Island Zone, you're flying through, oh, there's fire. Like, it's just like, he's just describing the level. You don't have someone sing about the level.
And that's the problem we had with City Escape.
Yeah, it's like they're just singing the name of the level. Like,
it's such a cop-out.
Hydrocity Zone.
I mean, I wonder if Jun wrote all the lyrics to this rap. Thanks a lot, guys, for joining us on this very interesting episode, and we promise next week to be back to good video game music, because that's what this podcast is all about. This is kind of just a fun change of pace for April Fool's Day.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of you probably turned this off, so for the few of you who actually stick through to the end, we commend you, but we don't really have anything for you. You kind of just wasted your time, to be honest.
It's kind of a nice thing to put in context of a lot of the music we play. I feel like next week you're going to appreciate... Oh, it's going to be nice to actually hear good melodies and good music. So anyway, thanks for listening. My name is actually Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. We kind of lied to you at the beginning. Sorry there, April Fools.
Have a great week, you guys.
Peace out.